This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity with resources available in a connected age. Online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 17. Today, we will be discussing the resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. Welcome to Finding Hidden Treasure, your weekly discussion of resources available for those looking to go deeper into the Christian faith. I'm Walter Hampel. Have you made any New Year's resolutions this year? Think about the New Year's resolutions we typically make nowadays. They might include resolutions to lose weight, become more organized, or to finally shape up with a physical fitness program. None of these is wrong by itself. However, it seems that many of the resolutions which we make at the start of the new year are done as ends in themselves rather than as means to an end. For example, many, including myself, will resolve to lose weight in the upcoming year. But why should this be such an important goal? Perhaps it is for explicit health reasons, such as lowering your chances for developing diabetes or hypertension. Perhaps it's to look better or have more energy to do the things you want to do. However, do these reasons go far enough? We are instructed in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." The goal of a New Year's resolution should be the glory of God, not our own glory. Staying with the example of a weight loss resolution, we should use a weight loss routine as a means to an end, namely to the end or the goal of glorifying God through this discipline, rather than using it as an end to glorify ourselves. In this episode, we'll be discussing the resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. I've included a lot of biographical information about Jonathan Edwards in the Episode 7 podcast. In this episode, we'll be looking at a small window of time in which Edwards developed what would become known as his 70 resolutions. Jonathan Edwards lived in New York City from August of 1722 until about April or May of 1723. He was a supply pastor to fill the pulpit for a new Presbyterian congregation in Lower Manhattan that had just split from its parent congregation. It was in 1722 that Edwards began writing down his resolutions, which would eventually number 70. Jonathan was only 2 months away from turning 19 when he left New Haven, Connecticut for New York City. He was about to embark on the first assignment in a lifelong career of being a pastor teacher. Like many of his contemporaries, he sought a plan of action for his life. Benjamin Franklin, a contemporary of Edwards, created a set of resolutions on the voyage back to Philadelphia after his first visit to France in 1726. Franklin's desire in writing his resolutions was to develop the discipline to not get distracted in life while aiming to become materially prosperous. Edwards' goal was to lead a disciplined life directed to the glory of God. Today, when we think of someone who still hasn't quite turned 19, we think in terms of someone whose whole life is still in front of them. In 1720s colonial America, that was true for many, but for not all. Yet death was a more frequent visitor then than it seems to be today. Edwards had, at age 18, a strong sense of the eternity whose door laid open at the end of this earthly life. Three of his resolutions in particular indicate his eternity-oriented mindset. In Resolution 17, Edwards wrote, "Resolved, that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I come to die." In Resolution 19, he wrote, "Resolved, never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I expected it would not be above an hour before I should hear the last trump." Resolution 52 was particularly insightful. Being a young man still in his teens, he took seriously the wisdom and observations of those in old age. He wrote, "I frequently hear persons in old age say how they would live if they were to live their lives over again. Resolved, that I will live just so as I can think I shall wish I had done, supposing I lived to old age." I find it interesting that there is an outward agreeing of Jonathan Edwards' resolutions with many of the resolutions which we might make at the start of the new year. For example, perhaps we aren't as organized or diligent about managing time, and correcting that might be the essence of one of our New Year's resolutions. Edwards' fifth resolution sounds rather similar. "Resolved, never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I can. Perhaps the most common New Year's resolution is to lose our excess weight. Edward's 20th resolution sounds like the dust jacket summary of a diet book. Resolved to maintain the strictest temperance in eating and drinking. Your New Year's resolution may deal with personal relationships. Once again, this was a concern for Jonathan Edwards as well. In Resolution 31, he wrote, "Resolved, never to say anything at all against anybody, but when it is perfectly agreeable to the highest degree of Christian honor and of love to mankind, agreeable to the lowest humility and sense of my own faults and failings, and agreeable to the golden rule. Often, when I have said anything against anyone, to bring it to and try it strictly by the test of this resolution." Edward's purpose in these resolutions is that although they might look the same outwardly to many of our 21st century New Year's resolutions, the motive behind them is radically different. What is our motive for wanting to manage time better, or being better organized, or losing weight, or developing better relationships with others? For Edwards, these resolutions were ways in which God could be glorified in pursuing these deliberate, disciplined actions. For example, Edwards' 20th resolution about strict temperance in eating or drinking wasn't designed by him with the end goal of helping him to look better, younger, or give him more stamina during exercise. He did this as a means to an end. He did this for the goal so that he could better serve God in his ministry and not allow the sluggishness which overeating can bring to lessen his effectiveness in serving Christ. This was a rather insightful resolution on Edwards' part. One author writing of this time wrote how the tables of Connecticut groaned under the weight of the abundant food being produced at the time. Overeating was very possible at this time in history. For those of us in the United States, remember how you might feel after a large Thanksgiving dinner when the tryptophan in the turkey may make you feel sluggish or sleepy. Edwards understood that this could hamper his life's work and knew it at a young age so as to avoid it. The theme of the glory of God echoes through the 70 resolutions. In the very first resolution we read, "Resolved, that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and my own good, profit, and pleasure, in the whole of my duration, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages hence, resolve to do whatever I think to be my duty, and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. Resolved to do this, whatever difficulties I meet with, how many and how great soever." The fourth resolution reads, "Resolved never to do any manner of thing, whether in soul or body, less or more, but what tends to the glory of God, nor be, nor suffer it, if I can avoid it." Resolution 27 states, "Resolved never willfully to omit anything except the omission be for the glory of God, and frequently to examine my omissions." I recently saw a cartoon in which the question was asked what New Year's resolutions were. The reply is that for many people, they are things to do lists for only the first week of January. Though meant to be humorous, there is a strong element of truth in that comic strip. Changes that we wish to make in our lives are often short-lived due to a lack of follow-through. Edwards built into his resolutions a plan for monitoring how well the progress on his resolutions was going. Two of these accountability mechanisms are found in the adjacent resolutions in Resolution 40 and 41. In Resolution 40, we read, "Resolved to inquire every night before I go to bed whether I have acted in the best way I possibly could with respect to eating and drinking." Resolution 41 reads as follows, "Resolved to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, wherein I could possibly in any respect have done better." Edwards' plan for his resolutions was not for a year, but for the remainder of his life. Two of the resolutions give us a bit of insight into Edwards' life and what he thought was important. In Resolution 65, we get a glimpse of who the young Jonathan Edwards admired. Like all great men and women, there are those who shaped them into what they became and served as mentors for their growth. For Edwards, one of those mentors was one who died almost 50 years earlier, but whose printed sermons left an impression on and guided this young man who himself would go on to inspire so many in subsequent centuries with his thought and by his example. In the 65th resolution, we read, "Resolved very much to exercise myself in this all my life long, with the greatest openness I am capable of, to declare my ways to God and lay open my soul to Him, all my sins, temptations, difficulties, sorrows, fears, hopes, desires, and everything, in every circumstance, according to Dr. Manton's 27th Sermon on Psalm 119, written on July 26th and August 10th, 1723. The one who would go on to write such classics as The Freedom of the Will and Religious Affections thought it important enough to mention a specific sermon by which he was conducting himself in an ongoing fashion. The Dr. Manton referred to here is the English Puritan minister, Thomas Manton, who lived from 1620 to 1677. I will be including a link to Thomas Manton's 27th sermon on Psalm 119 on the Restoring the Core website for this episode. In another snapshot into Edward's life, we have Resolution 42. Written on January 12, 1723, Edward records his rededication to God. Resolved, frequently to renew the dedication of myself to God, which was made at my baptism, which I solemnly renewed, when I was received into the communion of the church, and which I have solemnly remade this 12th day of January, 1722-23. Edward's plan was to read and reread these resolutions frequently. By embedding this reference to a special renewal of dedication of himself to God in January of 1723, he set up the mechanism for ongoing renewals of the original dedication of himself to God made at his baptism. I do need to add a bit of historical background concerning the era in which Edwards wrote his resolutions. Edwards considered himself a British citizen. The Revolutionary War was about 50 years in the future. Jonathan was living in a British colony in America under British rule and custom. Calendar reform, to bring the calendar back in line with the actual seasons, was embraced in Catholic Europe through the leading of Pope Gregory XIII in 1582. 10 days were dropped from the calendar. In addition, years ending in 00 would not be regarded as a leap year unless that year was evenly divisible by 400. Protestant Britain was not willing to follow the lead of the head of the Roman Catholic Church on this issue. Eventually, it was recognized in Britain that this was an astronomical and not a theological issue. Thus, British calendar reform would have to wait until 1752, when Britain decided to bring their calendars in line with the seasons. 12 days were dropped from the calendar to make up for the seasonal shift back. However, at the time when Edwards was writing his resolutions, British calendar reform hadn't happened yet. Among those reforms was a switch of New Year's Day. In this era of colonial America, New Year's Day was celebrated on March 25th, the church feast of the Assumption, commemorating when the angel Gabriel informed Mary that she would bear the Christ child. However, there was already an undercurrent of people who were regarding January 1st as the start of the new year. A popular way of writing out a date between January 1st and March 24th was to include both the old-style year and new-style year. Thus, Jonathan's 42nd resolution was written as January 12, 1722-23. There is a summary of the categories of the 70 resolutions provided by Nathan Butsenitz in the December 29, 2011 entry of the Cripplegate blog. I have found this summary of 10 categories into which these resolutions fall to be quite useful. Nathan lists these as the following. 1. To live for the glory of God. 2. To make the most of this life in terms of eternal impact. 3. To take sin seriously. 4. To become theologically astute. 5. To be humble. 6. To exhibit self-control in all things. 7. To always speak with grace and truth. 8. To constantly develop an eternal focus. 9. To be a faithful Christian in prayer and dedication. 10. To daily pursue a fervent love for Christ. Fortunately, there is nothing unique to Jonathan Edwards, his time, or circumstances concerning these 10 categories. We should seek these in the 21st century as much as Edwards did in the 1720s. Lastly, it needs to be said that one reason why many New Year's resolutions fail is the lack of not only planning, but power behind the effort. We can try to work up the grit and determination to start a life change. However, Edwards realized he did not have the ability to work up the energy to do the resolutions and to keep that energy going on his own initiative. The preface to his resolutions, with which I close, should be our prayer as well. Being sensible that I am unable to do anything without Christ's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We are on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active and can be found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.